Hey, everybody. Happy Saturday night. This is DTM Wicked Radio's show, Wicked Naked, and I am your show host, Kat Holden Robinson. It's been 4 weeks since I talked to you guys live, so you know what's coming before you get your knickers in a twist and plug your grandma's ears. Wicked Naked has nothing to do with being naked. It has everything to do with what lies beneath the surface, because at the end of the day, folks, you guys know that's what matters. You know, and I'll tell you, I'm going to be sniffing a little bit tonight because I'm like 75% better, which means I'm like 25% still sick, which sucks. But it's better than being 75% sick and 25% well. So I've still got a little bit of this nagging thing hanging on, which is like some kind of bronchial thing that, you know, if you play your cards right and do what the doctor says, you'll be fine. If you don't, you wind up in the ER with people pouncing on you like zombies on a fresh kill. Let me tell you something, guys. When that happens, you know you're sick, because being in the ER can be like waiting for that cable guy. I mean, you sit in that little cubby with the curtain closed until, you know, the cows come home and you just think they forgot about you. When they all start showing up at once, you know you're sick. So that's what happened to me a couple days before Christmas. So like I said, I'm about 75% better. I'm about 25% still ill, but I am super happy to be back. If you're listening to the show live, you know it is January 10th. It is 7 days away from my beloved daughter's birthday. So we'll be celebrating that here in a week's time. She in Texas, me in upstate New York. But you know what? My world is better simply because I know somewhere she is alive in it. So that's a nice way of appeasing yourself when somebody you love is very, very far away. So getting back to the show here, this is indeed DTM Wicked Radio's Wicked Naked, and we talk about how we impact our world. And guys, I'll tell you something. Somebody said something very interesting to me this week, and this is a super smart guy, and this might have lacked literary finesse, but it hit the spot, and I mean, he nailed it. He said, the world's going to shit. And I got to tell you something. No, I like nothing better than a good debate, but I couldn't argue with him because, sadly, I think he might be right. Some crazy things have happened lately, especially this week. You know, we all kind of stood in solidarity for freedom of speech when, you know, 12 folks at a satirical magazine in Paris called Charlie Hebdo, and I actually had to listen to that twice to make sure I pronounced it properly, because when something happens like that, you certainly, those folks deserve to have the name of their publication pronounced properly. So 12 folks at a satirical magazine over in Paris called Charlie Hebdo were shot and killed this week by terrorists. Now, I got to tell you, that scares the crap out of me. I don't know about you guys, and I'm certainly not underplaying what happened to these guys by sounding a little bit humorous, but, you know, by sounding a little bit sarcastic about it, you know, those folks might actually appreciate it because they do post a lot of satirical cartoons and articles and, you know, but they're equal opportunity offenders. They talk about everybody. They don't single anybody out. And clearly, terrorists don't like that. So I don't know what they do like, and frankly, I really don't give a shit. I just wish they'd stop doing the things that they're doing because it isn't going to fix it. Now, nobody asked me how we're going to fix it. I don't know how we're going to fix it. I do try to figure it out. You know, a lot of people tell me, Kate, you can't change the world. Well, you know what? The world changes, so who does it? You know, I don't think world change is, you know, grown in a petri dish. I think it happens when we all get together and we see something that isn't working and we raise our voices and we get together and we affect some serious change. And we really need to do that, guys. Because like my friend said, the world's going shit. Things are not working. You know, that is a sad, sad state of affairs when that kind of thing happens. You know, another friend of mine posted something the day after this all occurred, and about unarmed police officers being shot in the city of Paris like animals in the street. And that's really a sad situation. It's heartbreaking. The mere idea that these folks weren't even able to defend themselves is just gut-wrenching. And it really and truly is very, very sad. You know, obviously I believe in freedom of speech. I have a radio show here with DTM Wicked Radio. I talk about an assortment of things. I don't mince words. I feel like I should be able to talk about the things that matter to me and things I hope matter to you. I bring on guests. I allow them to talk about the things that matter to them. We hope that these things are the same things that matter to you. I think we should be able to talk about things. I think we should be able to talk openly and talk freely. And I think that we should all accept the fact that others have the right to do that. And occasionally somebody is going to do or say something that offends us. Guys, that's life. We are sometimes going to be offended by things that people say or do. I'm an animal rights activist. Happens to me all the time. A lot of people out there don't really give a shit about what's happening to animals. They don't care about what's happening to animals when they're, you know, over deforestation and, you know, their habitats are being destroyed and they're suffering ungodly inside slaughterhouse walls. People don't care about that. A lot of people don't care about that. I care about that. And I'm very offended at times that there are a lot of people who are very ignorant about those types of things. And, you know, actually, there's a lot of, unfortunately, hatred. It's part of life. You know, a lot of people say a lot of bad things about, you know, animal activists, and they all think we're a bunch of radicals. They go around blowing up people's houses and vans because we disagree. You know, at the end of the day, most of us are not like that. The large percentage of animal activists are signing and creating petitions and writing to lawmakers and politicians to try to affect change that will keep all of our sentient beings a little bit safer in this world. Because I'll tell you something, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but this world ain't safe for anybody anymore. I mean, you go to work, you can get shot. You walk across the street, you can get shot. I mean, it's a scary, scary place. And my friend was right, it's kind of going to shit. And it scares me, and it doesn't have to be like that. I think that we can find a better way. You know, I've been thinking about it a lot. I haven't come up with anything yet, but I'm telling you something. If you guys maybe know of something I'm not thinking of, you know, surely let me know. You know, and I always forget to do this, and this is cool because we're only 6 minutes into the show and I'm remembering. I'm going to take about a 3-second break here. I'm going to look at the phone number. You guys are welcome to call in if there's anything I say that you want to talk about, if there's anything that you want to bring up that you think is a great topic of conversation for the show. Call in. We'll chat a little bit. You know, I'm always interested in what people have to say. You know, some folks contact me on Facebook. I really, really appreciate that. If you ever want to do that, if you have an idea for a show, if you want to come on the show, please contact me. You can contact me at Kat Robinson. Send me a friend request. I mean, that's the easiest way, because if we're not friends and you send me a message, it goes into the black hole with, like, the lost socks and the lost faxes, which is like the other messages folder that I think 99% of the population does not know about. I didn't know there was another messages folder. Somebody sent me a message. She said, hey, I know we're not friends on Facebook, but I sent you a message on Facebook. I said, you did? When was that? Oh, like 6 months ago. I'm like, go figure. And I looked. Yeah, there it was. I mean, the information wasn't terribly pertinent at that point, and I apologized for being what she probably thought was a dick because I never responded. But I didn't know about it. So you guys want to chat with me if you have an idea for a show, if you want to come on the show, please find me on Facebook, Kat Robinson. Kat, like C-A-T, like kitty, with claws. And they come out once in a while. So I'm going to actually get you the phone number if you want to call in tonight because I'm getting older. And I remember, like, my phone number from 1982, but I cannot remember the phone number to which I call in to do my radio show. But that is the mystery of the human brain. So stay with me because I'm going to get you a phone number. Okay, 607-349-0410. If you guys want to call in and talk about something, and don't be I will tell you because it's a little intimidating. I did my first radio interview. Yeah, I think it was probably back in 2010, shortly after my first book was published. And, yeah, it's okay if you roll your eyes. But don't roll them too much because I'm bringing on a published author and I'm a little protective of my own kind. But shortly after my first book was published, I was invited on to do a radio show. And I got to tell you something. I forgot to breathe. I almost passed out. I had a glass of wine and I wanted to take a sip. I was shaking so bad I couldn't get it to my mouth without spilling it all over. But, you know, 5 minutes into the show, I was like, yeah, we're having a conversation. And it was pretty easy, and it was a lot of fun. So don't be intimidated. If you want to call in and talk about something, call in and we'll talk about something. Those crazy things happen all the time. And the one thing that I find makes life a little bit easier is when we can chat it out. And we can, you know, we realize that people, you know, we might be scared about what's going on in the world today. If you're not, you know, you probably should be. You know, I'm sorry if you're hearing that here first. But it really helps to talk to other people when something scares crap out of us. And, you know, I can understand if you folks are scared shitless right now, because it is a scary, volatile time in this world. You know, it's horrifying to think that you could go any place at any time and some self-radicalized terrorist starts, you know, blowing the place all to shreds. And it's a scary time. And, you know, I was reminded very recently of the fragility of life. Sadly, someone I know, someone with whom I'm related, and I actually did not know well. I had only met her once. But her life, unfortunately, ended in violence and tragedy, and she was murdered. And I went to the funeral, and it was one of the saddest, most gut-wrenching and equally uplifting things that I have ever seen, because there was so much love and support in that room. And it was such a horrifying and tragic thing, and it reminded me of the fragility of life. I don't recommend anybody attend a funeral for someone who was murdered. It's an awful thing to have to do. But you know what? We're grown-ups. You know, most of us, I really hope if you're listening to my show, you're a grown-up. If not, I'll probably get a letter from your mom or dad, which I will respond to, incidentally. If you're not a grown-up, don't listen to my show, because I talk about a lot of crazy things, and I don't always use very nice words. So if you're not a grown-up, go do something else, like Legos or something. But I got to tell you, you know, it's a harsh reminder of the fragility of life. The Charlie Hebdo thing. A harsh reminder of the fragility of life. Guys, we got to enjoy every moment. I mean, granted, there's certain moments that kind of stink, you know. You know, you're late for work, you get every red light, and we have a tendency as a society to get so frustrated over things like that. We forget about the bigger stuff, the stuff that really deserves our energy. If you got to sit at a red light for a couple minutes, you know what? Turn on the radio and just sing along, you know, because it's not a crisis that you're stuck at a red light. You know, I talk about the Vestal Parkway all the time, which is like the black hole of death. Anybody who's local, who's listening to the show, is nodding their head right now like, holy crap, she's right. You get a lot of red lights there. You know what? Turn on the radio, listen to a song. Maybe your favorite song will come on. Life works like that sometimes. But don't sweat the small stuff, because life is insanely, insanely fragile. You know, we need to do better as a society. And the one thing that I always talk about, I talk about it on my radio show, I talk about it with my friends, with my colleagues, because it's so, so important, is raising our younger folks correctly. And I have a fellow coming on here in a few minutes. We're going to chat for the remainder of the show. He is an up-and-coming children's author, already getting a lot of attention. I'll tell you guys, if your kids don't have their nose in a book, learning about cool things, learning about taking adventures, taking journeys, learning good values from stories that talk about values, get them a book. You know, we don't read anymore, which is really sad, and there's so much to be learned. Books can be so impactful. You know, if your kid isn't reading a book, get your child a book. You know, a week ago we had a power outage, and my power was out for 5 minutes, and I was like the only person in the community who was upset that the power was only out for 5 minutes, because I had the remote control gas fireplace all fired up, and I had the candles lit, and I had my book, and I thought, you know what, I'm not going to stick my nose in a device, because they usually don't work when there's no power, or they're not fully charged, because we don't know when a power outage is coming, and they, you know, die off and don't work anymore, and we get a chance to actually read a book, or make a phone call, or talk to a neighbor, or do something to get back to some very, very basic things. So without further ado, I am going to go ahead and bring on children's author Dennis Gager. And I got to tell you, I think there's only one way to pronounce that, and I think I'm doing it right. I also know him as my friend Denny, and one of the producers and owners of DTM Wicked Radio. And he has written a series about Billy Rabbit. So I'm going to bring on Denny. I'm going to let him talk about his motivation for creating the book. There's already a lot of attention for these books. If your kids aren't reading, get them reading. Get them to put their nose in a book. It's a great experience. So, Denny, are you with me?
Hey, hi, Kat. How are you? Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I am fantastic. Thank you for coming on the show, and congratulations on getting your books published. How fantastic.
Thank you very much. Yes, I was blown away, and I'm glad you're feeling much better as well, too.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. Like I said to your wife, and everybody, I guess, because I said it on the show, I'm about 75% better. And considering that half the population probably feels like crap most of the time, I guess I'm doing all right. But yeah, I'm really, really glad to have you on the show. And I'm actually looking at your book covers right now on Amazon. And I got to tell you something. These covers are so, so cute. And I have to admit, I haven't read the books. I really want to, because I actually think children's books are fantastic, even for adults. And I think you should read the book before you read it to your child. I think that's always a good thing to do. But what was the motivation for you to become a children's author?
Actually, years ago, this is actually how I got into it, was my little nephew. I was actually, just like you just said, I think everybody should read the books before children, you know, read them, parents check them out, because a lot of stuff that's not really, you know, it's not really good, you know, suited for them. So anyways, my little nephew was where I was looking to give him a birthday present, and I was looking at, you know, some of the books out there, and I thought they were terrible. And there's nothing against anybody. I just thought they were, you know, for the age bracket, because at that time he was 5 years old, and I didn't really like him, and I just decided to write him a short story. And that's what kind of, and I really liked doing it, and I just started picking up his little hobby every now and then, and that's really what's got me into it, because I just enjoy, you know, writing stories, and I love seeing the responses on the little guys' faces. You know, it's just see the joy it brings to them.
I think that's fantastic, because kids are, I don't know if you noticed, but they're so disengaged anymore. You know, they always get their nose in their devices, and they're playing these video games with imaginary characters, and, you know, they're not really engaged in anything. So I think that's fantastic. I think we need to have more children's authors. I think we need to have more books that talk about values. And actually, I think we need to have more authors like you who actually are really conscious about what you're putting out there that young people are going to read. So kudos, Denny.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, no, I love doing it. I mean, I just love the feeling it brings to me when I see a little one, you know, just smile. Like, just for example, we ran across an autistic child at an event recently we were just at. And you know, with autistic children, it's really hard for them to make contact with you because, you know, they're in their own little bubble, you know, their own little world right there. And the little guy stops, looks at my book, and he actually looks up at me, right in my eyes, just looks right at me and gives me a smile. It just, you know, it just melted my heart. And I said to him, I said, would you like a book? And he just smiled ear to ear. I handed his book to him right there. And his dad goes, well, how much? I go, I don't want a thing. I said, that's what it's all about. And I gave the book to the little guy right there. And that really made, you know, that's what it's all about. It's just the kid.
You know what? I got to tell you something. The first thing is, it's awesome that this little guy has your book. It's awesome that he looked up and made eye contact with you. But I think what's even cooler is the fact that you gave him the book. Because children live in the same scary world that you and I do. And I think they need to be reminded that most people are really good. There is a goodness in people. And I'm sure he'll remember that for a long time.
Oh, absolutely. Like just like you said, there is, I mean, a lot of people, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of bad out in the world, like you were discussing earlier about what happened over in France. And whatnot, but there is still a lot of good people out there, and I think if everyone just tried to make the effort, just try to do one good thing, no matter what it is, it can really change the world, you know, for a little guy or for another person. Because, you know, it's like I always believe in pay it forward. That's one of my biggest things I've always done in my life is just try to, no matter how stressful, rough a day I'm having, I always try to make sure to end it on a good note, no matter what.
Absolutely. You know, and I find that people, a bad day has a real ripple effect because people are grumpy and they kind of tend to take it out on other people. And, you know, we've all seen the Facebook memes about, you know, be kind to people because you don't know what battles they're fighting. And, you know, you never know what kind of fragility is behind someone's smile, the things that they don't share, and the positive effect of just being kind to someone. Like you said, paying it forward. You know, it's you never see it, and that's fine because you don't need to see it. We don't do it to see, to get anything really from it other than that good feeling of doing something great. But, you know, somebody posted online the other day that, you know, she was getting a chai at a drive-thru at a coffee shop, and somebody in front of her paid for it. And it was noteworthy enough that she said something about it. And, you know, it made her day. And it's very possible that she was different. You know, maybe she behaved differently with every other person that she came in contact with that day, you know, because her day was so uplifted by that one little single act of kindness.
That's exactly what I believe in right there. Like you said, one good act can change everything. You know, just like one act of being negative can ruin somebody's mood. I believe one good act of kindness can do that. And that's why my books right there, each book I write has a special meaning. Every book has its own meaning I'm writing. And I really wanted to, you know, put it into the books. And I figured that if I can reach one child out of every book I write, every out of the series, then it's well worth it. Because if I know one person can just take it back and can do something good from that, you know, and that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. So where did you come up with the idea for Billy Rabbit? Because I think that is so cute.
It just hit me. Like when I was in school, I used to create, create imaginary characters. And I used to write little short stories. That's how I did it. I just came up Billy Rabbit just years ago there. Because I used to love, my parents actually, my dad used to raise rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember them all the time. My dad would get these things. And you know how you start with rabbits, you have one or two. Next thing you know, you got a whole flock of them right there. And I used to remember them getting out of the cage and running off here and there and giving them mischief. And my father's trying to catch them, and he's getting mad because he can't get a hold of the things. But I just remember that as a kid right there. And that's kind of like where I came up with the idea for Billy Rabbit there. I just kind of took like all those animals my father had, and I seen how crazy acting and stuff they used to be. And that's how I came up with that character for Billy.
That's cute. So without giving anything away, because naturally we want folks to get your book, and we want folks to share your book with their kids. But I assume that Billy Rabbit somehow saves Christmas. And if there's a, you know, you say there's a powerful message in every book. So I kind of have a feeling that I maybe know a little bit about the secret of the book, because I know you agree that Christmas has become incredibly commercialized and people forget the true meaning of Christmas. So I have
Absolutely.
A feeling that maybe we're reminded of that in your book.
Absolutely. Actually, in the book, not to get too much away, but in the book, Santa, you know, gets hurt. And Billy, without even thinking about it, jumps around and just tells Santa, like, I'll help you, Santa. He wanted to help him. He's like, you see tears in his eyes a little bit, Billy, right there, because when he saw Santa get hurt, and it just demonstrates, you know, if somebody gets hurt, it's a good for somebody to step up and help the person. Don't be afraid, you know, because say you see your elderly neighbor, you know, walking with a limp, or, you know, just something else happened to somebody, it's just nice to see somebody step up and help that person, and that's basically things in the book for Billy.
That's fantastic. I think a lot of people think that somebody else will help. And I think it takes a long time. I think it comes with age and with wisdom that we suddenly realize, we wake up one day and we realize that we are the somebody else. And I think if we can let children know that from a young age, that's fantastic. You know, we can't, you know, people tell me I can't save the world. Well, I believe that if we all work together, we can. You know, but it's going to take a lot of us. So I think if we can get to people, you know, when they're young, I think if we can get to children when they're young and just, you know, I hate to say drive home because it sounds like we're forcing that idea on them, but really drive the idea that change begins with every single one of us, and we can all make a positive impact You know, if you just, like you said, if you carry your neighbor's groceries, you know, because, you know, at Christmas time I helped somebody load something in their car. You know, I didn't work there. You know, I saw the lady struggling. It had snowed. She was having trouble moving the cart. And I thought, you know what? I'm here. She needs help. I can help. Why wouldn't you? And I don't think people think like that anymore. If you could do something kind, why wouldn't you? If you could help, why wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And that's exactly kind of like I said in all in my series, each book has its own little meaning and little things right there. Like just, it's just basically just teaching people just to be there for one another and help each other. And you know, like another reason I really, you know, I'm writing for little kids is I love the way the little ones see the world. You know, because every day they get up, you look at a little kid right there, they get up and they're looking at the world like a clean slate. You know, they're taking everything in, they're taking all the colors in, they're taking in all the sounds, they're looking at everything, they're like, you know, they're like, wow, look what mom can do. You know, they're seeing you teach them this, they're seeing the way you talk, they mimic, and I think, you know, that'd be great if we could just take a step back and forget about our stress and everything else that's going on, and just take a step back and just kind of look at the world like a little kid does. Just that, you know, with the open mindset, imagine what the world could be like if everybody was like that. And that's what I'm hoping to do with the books right there, that you can reach, you know, maybe a parent's reading to their child, and they could just take back, like, wow, you know, that's really cool. And you see their son smiling and give him a hug right there. And he said, you know, I don't need to have a TV on. I don't need to have a video game on. And I don't need to be go out and buy all this expensive toys. Well, I can just simply sit down and just spend 5 minutes with my son and just read to him.
That's fantastic. Yeah, because the electronic babysitters, I mean, they certainly, I mean, there are times when parents need to do something, but you know what? I think kids spend far too much time isolated away from people with their noses in devices. You know, even, you know, I think, I'm sure you see this too, even at like family gatherings, there's always somebody who's not paying attention, who's not engaged, you know, because they're playing a game or they're looking at the little thing in their hand and yeah, I think it's sad that we don't communicate anymore like we used to.
Absolutely. I see it all. Well, actually, I work for the school, and I see it every day. It's like I see kids sitting here at lunchtime when I go in there, because like I said, I do a bunch of different jobs. I'm a cleaner. I do security. I do maintenance. But I go in there, and I actually see kids in the cafeteria sitting, a whole group of kids. There's probably 15 kids at the table. Not one of them are talking to each other. They all got the phones out. They're all punching up the gadgets and whatnot. And they're missing out on, like when we were in school, we weren't allowed to have cell phones out. And we were actually sitting there just to share a conversation, laugh, you know, joke. You see your friends down today. Let's talk to them. Instead of that, no, I have to go look on Facebook and say, oh, geez, look, so-and-so's having a bad day today. You know, and I was walking right by you, and they just, you know what I mean? If you just made eye contact and just, you know, just, I just wish we could take a step back. Just a little bit. I mean, yeah, the gadgets are nice and all that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not shooting anything down because, I mean, I have to use them myself. But it'd just be nice to see people step back and, you know, just be there for one another. And that's what I'm trying to, you know, put into my writing and whatnot as well.
That's fantastic. Because, Denny, I like the way you think. You're on Team Good Guys. I like that. Because we've forgotten how to take care of each other. You know, and I think people think I'm a radical sometimes because I talk about, oh, there's going to be a reckoning. And I actually really think that it very possibly in our lifetime, I know that you're younger than I am, but I think very possibly in our lifetime, it may not be a reckoning, so to speak. It may not be apocalyptic, but I think there may be an event in our lifetime that, like you say, makes us step back and actually reach out to our friend, our family, our neighbor, because we are going to need those people to be able to survive. You know, some type of an event, it could be even a weather event, that makes us step back, look at our neighbor and say, I need to help him, and I need his help, because we're not going to be able to get through this individually. We need to get through this together. And I feel very strongly about that. And it's great that there are messages in your book that talk about taking care of one another, because I think we've forgotten, and I think we need to be reminded, because someday we may need to call on those very basic skills of helping and taking care of one another. That might be the means to our survival.
Absolutely.
I'm a radical.
No, I agree with you 100%. That's exactly, and that's, well, just for example, this winter here, you know, my father passed away here, been gone now, I can't believe it, almost 2 years now, and my dad's always went over here and plowed the neighbors and took care of, you know, always took care of the neighbors' driveways and all this with his tractor. Well, this year here, the neighbor came right over and plowed my mother out, plowed the driveway out for her. And she says, "Well, how much do you want?" He goes, "I don't want a thing." He goes, "Your dad, your husband." I'm sorry. He always came over and took care of me and did this and that. Never asked for a thing, and I want to, you know, make sure you're taken care of and make sure everything's done. And I thought that was the nicest thing. I realize now, even though my father's gone, his act of kindness doing that, you know, somebody else has, you know, stepped up, and I just found that amazing.
Yeah, and which is equally cool, and in a way it's also a little bit heartbreaking that we are amazed when somebody's kind to us, because I think that speaks volumes of our expectations. Like, we don't expect people to be good to us anymore, and we are amazed by those simple acts of kindness. I mean, I think it's great that we recognize them. But I think, in a way, it's sad that we're surprised when they happen.
Well, I thank my wife every day. I thank God every day for my wife, because she, for a while, I was getting a little bit like that. I mean, I always try to go through life, just like I told you. You know, I always try to be open, help people, and I kind of was getting in a rut for a while, down to work, you know, with the people, the negativity coming in. But when I met Tiffany and she just really opened my eyes back up to what was really important, you know, and like she told me, like, you know, that she always encouraged me, just don't worry about the things people think. Just be yourself. Don't worry about it no matter what happens. Just be who you are, because that's the person she told me she fell in love with. And so that's why I always try to, like I preach, that's the way I try to live my life.
Good. Yeah, it's important to be true to ourselves and to be in a relationship with somebody who celebrates that. I mean, that's fantastic.
Well, she's my biggest supporter. I mean, it wasn't for her, Billy Rabbit would still be on a floppy disk somewhere. So, like I said, the whole Tiff's my biggest supporter and my biggest person. Give me a kick in the butt sometimes if I don't, you know, get the ball, get rolling on something right there. So, like you said, it's always good to, you know, have that.
Absolutely. Now, Danny, just to go back a few seconds, would you like to explain to the listeners what a floppy disk is? Because people might not know.
Oh, gosh. Well, when we were kids, they were called floppy disks. Now
that's,
you guys,
right,
probably would call them those little CD-ROMs or CDs or disks, or I don't know what. They got so many different terminology for them. I'm not a big computer person, as you can tell from my terminology. But
that is funny, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is funny how everything's changed and everything. I can't even pronounce half the stuff. But no, I actually wrote the story down and I put it on an old CD, and then I found it and I transferred it over onto one of those little thumb drives. That's what I call it, thumb drives. There you go.
Yep.
And Tiffany found it, and she asked me what it was. And I just told her, I said, yeah, I said, well, it's an old story I wrote. It's just something I wrote years ago. And she goes, this is really good. She goes, it's really cute, and I like it. And I said, oh, thanks. And Tiffany took it upon herself to submit it into a publisher. And that's how it actually got picked up and got out there.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, because otherwise, like I said, it'll still be on a thumb drive, floppy disk, whatever, from the day. But, yes.
For you.
I mean, I can't stand up for things about Craig Thornton.
What's that?
Oh, no, nothing. I was just saying, what was it for her? There's no telling, you know, where I'd be at right now, or where Billy would be at right now.
Right. Well, I'll tell you something. I looked at some of the reviews, and people certainly seem to like Billy Rabbit.
Yeah, I'm very blown away. I really appreciate everyone out there who's left me a review. I appreciate people that have done the work. I work with there come out to me and tell me the stories about how they bought the book for the grandson, how the grandkid loved it. And then he asks them, when's more coming out? They want to know when there's more books. And then when they tell them there's more, they get so excited. So, I mean, all this stuff just blows me away when I hear that. And just the reviews are wonderful. I've even been nominated for a couple of awards as well.
Yes, I had heard that, and that's fantastic. You know, it's so easy to disappear into the sea of millions of books, especially since, you know, with the art of self-publishing, pretty much anybody can put words on a page and, you know, pop it into a format and self-publish it. So when you're nominated for an award, that's fantastic because that's, I mean, somebody has actually looked at your work and it has stood out against millions of other books. And that's great. That is definitely noteworthy. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, no, it completely made my day when I mean, I'm just honored. I mean, I know that I've seen how many books, different books are in the category, and just to be on there just blew me away. Like, just for example, when the Christmas book came out, it debuted number one on Amazon for hot new releases. And I looked at the category that it was debuted in. It debuted up in the same category with, at that moment, with number one. It was L. Ron Hubbard, not Hubbard, sorry. He's up there, of course. But I'm just thinking of, like, The Hobbit, Dr. Seuss, and other ones like that. Just to be up in that category, whether it was just for a few days, a few weeks, whatever, just to be up in the same category, it flattered me. You know what I mean? It just blew me away.
That's great. Well, I got a little nephew. I think that I'd like him to have these books, so I'm going to go ahead and get them. And, you know, I'd like to, I know you're going to coordinate an author event, which I think is great. So when I see you at that event, when that gets set up and we meet there, I'm going to have to get a couple of those Billy Rabbit books and have you sign them for my nephew because I think he'd like them. And I think the message is important. I think kids need to hear it.
Oh, absolutely. And I'd be honored. And I just let you know, actually, this week, My third book is coming out. It's actually being released. It's Billy Rabbit, Snow Day.
Billy Rabbit Snow Day. How about that? That is
and
cool.
This is actually the first. See, the first two are holiday books. You know, the first one, second. This here is actual. What I'm really excited on. I love the first two. Don't get me wrong. I loved all of them, but this one here I wrote. This is one here without the holidays. Now I can just, focus. Now you can start seeing more characters coming in. Each book's going to have a little bit more meaning. You're going to see a little bit more story in depth into the characters. It's just so much more. It's going to be the Billy Rabbit world. Now I can open it up and go use my imagination and bring in so many more characters. And there's just so many topics I can go after. And I'm just so excited right now.
Well, I got to tell you something. I love what you have said about Billy Rabbit, and I got to tell you, there are a lot of questionable role models for little kids right now, and I know you know this. And, you know, there are a lot of, I'm not sure, I don't like to put people down, but I'm not sure little kids should be looking up to folks like, you know, the former Hannah Montana there. I think children need a positive role model. And it can be an imaginary character like Billy Rabbit because clearly, you know, every imaginary character comes from, you know, your imagination, but it's based and built upon people that you know, characteristics and personality traits of people who've had an impact on you. So if Billy Rabbit might be a child's imaginary friend, but I'm sure that there are some very human qualities there, and that's, you know, I'd far rather see kids looking up to a Billy Rabbit over maybe a Miley Cyrus or a Kardashian, you know.
I got to agree with you. I mean, I'm not bashing anybody, but I do agree with you. There's a lot of questionable, you know, role models out there that I really like. One second you hear him say, oh, I do it for the children. I love this. Then next second you see him in a magazine with it's all oiled up, and you know what I'm talking about with Miss Kardashian there. And I'm just thinking, like, how can you be a role model and try to set a good example when you're doing stuff like that? And I'm not the first one to judge. I mean, I'm far from perfect, but I'm not doing stuff like that, and I don't believe anybody should be that's in the limelight like that for, you know, for people looking at them.
Well, Denny, you know I agree with you because you know I did almost an entire show a month ago about Kim Kardashian's butt. And, you know, I'll tell you something. It's the little folks like you and I, and I'll tell you something. Kudos to the little folks because we do get stuff done and we do create change. But you have to wonder sometimes, you know, the bigger folks would, you know, how far-reaching their impact is, and you really wish. And I know you do because I can tell you think like I do, and I know Tiffany does too. You can't help but wish they would use it for something a little bit better. You know, if you could reach that far, why wouldn't you want your message maybe to be a little bit different?
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah, because, you know, they do have, you know, you and I can reach a certain amount of people. You know, we both have radio shows. We both have published books. But clearly these folks who are famous can reach far more people than we can. And their message is much louder, and it really gets out there. And sometimes I wish that they'd really think about the message that they're putting out there.
Absolutely. I know. I agree with you, 100%. I mean, you got, like I said, once again, I don't want to offend nobody, and if I do, I apologize, but Justin Bieber, just for example, I have nothing against the person, but when he goes to, I believe I have my facts correct, he was over in Germany, or on the tour, and he made a remark about, what was the diary of Anne Frank. And you know what I'm talking about. He had to make the, oh, well, if she was alive, she'd be a Bieber. Well, he had some up being that she'd be a Bieber. Like, excuse me? Like, who are you? I mean, I know he's celebrity. I know he's got millions of people that follow his Twitch or whatever he calls it there. And they all worship him, of course. And that's fine and dandy. They can do whatever they want. But say something like that, you know, about her. Say, oh, she would be a follower. I mean, like who are you to say something like that? You know, she went through, that lady, I mean, it's just, that story touched me. I don't know if you remember all that, I mean, Diary Anne Frank and
absolutely.
Stuff that she went through. And for somebody like that to come out and say something, that's exactly what I mean. And that's how they can, little kids look up to people like that, and you don't need stuff like that out there, you know?
No, because you really undermine what she went through and the struggles that she faced as a young girl. I mean, most of us could not handle that. It's unthinkable to us what she went through. And, you know, those snide remarks like that, those blasé comments, they really do undermine what she went through. And it demeans, you know, the message that she put out there in her book. And those things should never be forgotten, you know, because shame on us as a human race for ever allowing anything like that to occur. That should never be forgotten, and it should never be undermined.
Absolutely, an evil like that never should have been allowed to get out there like that.
Mm-mm. Well, Denny, I got to tell you something. I really appreciate you coming on my show tonight. For those of you who do not know, Denny is one of the producers of the DTM Wicked Radio. Denny brought me on. Gosh, I think it was a year and a half now, and I've had a blast talking to everybody. I think it's fantastic what you're doing with the Billy Rabbit series. I look forward to reading the books and getting them when I see you at your next author event. Why don't you tell people how to find you and how to find your books?
Okay, absolutely. Everybody, you can find my book at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or you can just simply go online and just type in Billy Rabbit series or Billy Rabbit Adventures, and you'll see it pop up on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm even on WordPress now. I mean, yeah, me, of all people. I have a blog, Billy Rabbit has a blog site, and I'm just helping Billy get his message out there. So if you want to check it out, you can find us there. Or you can just check on DTM Wicked Radio, and you can see some of the announcements coming up for events or what's going on in Billy World.
In the Billy World. I'll tell you something, the Billy World seems pretty cool. And I know I'll be mentioning Billy on upcoming shows. So, Denny, hey, I really appreciate you coming on. I'm going to take the reins from here and talk about some things going on in the world, and I'm going to talk about Billy a little bit more. And you know what? I'd like to have you come back on the show when Billy Rabbit Snow Day comes out, and I'd like to talk to you again after I read the books, and we can get a little bit more in-depth into who Billy Rabbit is and the impact he's going to make on our world and little kids' lives.
Absolutely. It was an honor being on here, and I would love to come back anytime. Thank you very much.
Denny, thank you, and you have a great night. I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. Hey, guys, if you missed any of that, that was my interview and my chat with Dennis Gager. That is G-A-G-E-R. That's G as in George, A-G as in George, E-R. If you look up Dennis Gager on Amazon.com, it's going to bring up the Billy Rabbit series. I'm going to tell you the reviews are very, very good. They are all 5-star. Clearly, people like these books. You should take a look at them. You should read them. You should read them yourselves, and you should read them to your kids, because I think kids need all the positive reinforcement and positive messages that they can get right now. They need your time and your attention. And even as adults, we need to disengage from the things that bring us stress. You know, we spend a lot of time online. We spend a lot of time watching the news. You know, clearly it's a scary place the world is right now. And we do need some time to disengage from those things and re-engage with our family, especially our youngsters, because the very state of this world depends on how we raise our young people and the impact that they have on their world as they grow up. So people think about it. You know, I see a lot of kids out there right now, these guys are on autopilot. You know, you look at them and they're a little bit blank. And, you know, that's very, very frightening. You know, you guys know I'm an animal advocate. There's a lot of kids out there doing a lot of very dangerous and scary things. And we cannot let our children raise themselves. They don't know how to do that. You know, we can't let our kids make their own decisions. They need our guidance. And you know what? We need to set aside the things that make us angry, the things that make us antsy, the things that make us stressed. We certainly can't take those things out on the little guys and little girls that are looking to us to teach them how to eventually be leaders in this world, you know, because you're either a leader or you're a follower, and we need more leaders, and we need more leaders with positive impacts. So you guys know I talk about that stuff all the time. How do we impact our world? How do you impact your world? You know, we don't do kind things to brag about them on Facebook. We don't do that. But you know what? I think it's good to talk about positive things and the ripple effect of positive things. And that effect, it's like, you know, I said something today to an old friend I ran into. It's like a drop in a pond. We don't know where that's going to go. We don't know the long-term effects of one positive act. But you know what? We're never going to know. And that's okay, because we have to believe, you know, negative brings negative and positive brings positive. You know, it just simply is. And, you know, by thinking positively and acting in a positive way and surrounding ourselves with positive people, you know, that's how we can create things. That's how we create ideas. And that's how we create change. You know, you guys know I follow a lot of animal activists online. I talk with animal activists face-to-face, you know, and I know that a lot of you think we're all just a bunch of nutcases making signs and picketing and stuff, but that's not really what it's all about. You know, we're getting together. We're creating new ideas. We're trying to help people to see the world in a different and healthier way. And, you know, we need to take better care of our world. You know, we've stripped this planet of so many things, and if you look at our weather patterns and such, and I'm not a doomsday prepper, you know, I don't have a to-go bag ready. You know, I haven't studied what to do when the zombies come. You know, I'm almost out of dog food. I'm not prepared for anything, and I have to admit that. You know, because I'd like to spend my energy on maybe fixing it. And, you know, even my sister says you can't change the world. I got to tell you people something. I think that's bullshit, because I think we can, and I think we have to. And I'll tell you, I'd like your help. You know, I'm not going to – it seems odd just to say that, but – you know what? We all got to work together at this, guys. You know, we just need to do better. We just need to do better. We need to take better care of ourselves. We need to take better care of our friends, our family, our world. And it will create a long-term ripple effect of just little positive changes. You know, not long ago, my cousin said to me, you can't fix people. You know, you can encourage them to take small steps to fix their own lives. But once you do that, it's on them. But it doesn't mean that we stop trying. You know, but it also means that, sometimes we have to be careful on what we spend our energy. You know, and I mentioned running into an old friend today. And I got to tell you, it was somebody I haven't seen in a long, long time. His name is Paul, and he lost a very, very good friend not long ago to a suicide, and it's a gut-wrenching experience. My daughter also lost a friend to suicide, and it's a very sad thing, and there's a lot of emotions associated with it. You know, it's normal. We feel guilt because my daughter's friend, I also play a role in this young man's life, and I had to wonder when this happened if I could have done something different. I had to applaud Paul, and I continue to do so, because he created a movement called Rock Against Suicide, which is a local event here in upstate New York. But I encourage you to check this out on Facebook. It's Rock Against Suicide, because people need us. You know, it's certainly far different from what I just talked about with Denny, but it's also very similar. Because it's reaching out to people and offering help in our darkest hours. It's easy to think that people don't care about us, that nobody cares about us, that we are completely forgotten. And, guys, that's just not true. You need something. Reach out to somebody because, when you reach out your hand, you will be surprised to find that in most cases there is a hand reaching out to you. You know, the feeling of wholesome goodness we get when we help, it really cannot be replaced by anything else. If you need help, please ask for it. I encourage you guys to check out Rock Against Suicide. It is a Facebook page. Like the page. Follow the movement. Post about it. Share the page. Get people talking about it. If, you know, like Denny said about his books, if he can reach one child with a positive message, then he is an absolute success, and I truly believe that. You know, if we can reach one person who is considering ending their life by, you know, something as simple as sharing a Facebook page, if you could help, why wouldn't you? So, you know what, that's the thought I want to leave you guys with tonight. You know, we're getting ready to wrap up another show here. I'm Kat Holden Robinson. I'm your show host of DTM Wicked Radio's Wicked Naked. You know, there's a lot of things you guys could have chosen to do on a Saturday night, or if you're listening to a later podcast, you know, there's a lot of ways you could spend your time. I appreciate the fact that you chose to spend it with us. You know, and the message I want you guys to take away from the show tonight is if you could help somebody, why wouldn't you? You know what? Do something kind, do something good, one little thing, and then maybe that person does something, and then it just creates a ripple effect. You know, things are broken, and I truly believe if we work together, we can begin to fix them. So I wholeheartedly look forward to talking to you guys again. I will be back in 2 weeks' time. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Check out Denny Gager's book. Please, if you have a moment, go to Facebook, check out Rock Against Suicide. Thank you to Denny for joining me on the show tonight. Thank you to Paul, my old friend from the 90s, for taking a very heartbreaking situation and turning it into something positive. Your friend would be proud of you. Guys, I'll see you again in two weeks right here on DTM Wicked Radio. Take care of yourselves, your world, and be kind to one another. Thanks for tuning in. Good night.
Thank you.